heart at Hillside is to create an experience where your faith is lifted and God can breathe life into your soul. Our hope is that today's sermon will encourage you, equip you, and empower you to live the life that God created for you. We're excited to open God's Word together and our faith to be strengthened. Welcome to Hillside.
We all care about money. We care about how much we spend, how much we save. We care about how much we make. And we most assuredly care about how much we don't make. But what if I told you that you're not the only one who cares about your money? God cares. In fact, God cares more about your money than you do.
Good morning. Good to see you today. I want to invite you, if you will, please put your hands together for our first time guest today. Those joining in person, those online as well. We just want to say it's so good to have you here. So good to see you. I'm excited today to begin a new series.
In fact, God cares more about your money.
In just a second. It was good. It was good. That was round two. We just wanted to prepare your hearts. No. Again, so glad that you're here. I really hope that you're doing well. And boy, I'll tell you what, my wife and I, we had the opportunity to get out of town with our kiddos a little bit last week and down visiting her family, came back yesterday, and fall is here. Come on. I love seeing the changing of the season and seeing the leaves change. It's a good time. You heard the announcement earlier, but we want to let you know, Hillside, we're doing a family fall fest. We do need your help. So please consider signing up on the way out today by our Next Steps table. It's going to be awesome. Great opportunity to reach more people during this season. So we are going to kick off a new series. Want to just get a statement in your mind. God cares more about your money than you do. We're beginning a series, and we're going to look at a discipleship area. Now listen, I know how this can be sometimes in church. People are like, church and money, come on, man, you serious? And I want to tell you, this is going to be more of a message series about the heart than it is about money. In fact, I'll make a promise to you, we're not going to ask for any of your money. Come on, that's worth applause right there. No, well, for some, you're like, okay, we're good. But I do seriously want to bring to attention an area of discipleship that you may have never considered. You see, many of us have kind of what we call areas of life that feel safe to open up to God. We have our friendships. Some of us have noticed that when we give God an open door in the life of our friendships. Think of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount when he talks about loving, forgiving, caring for others. We've noticed that as we've got aligned with God's word in the area of friendships, some good things begin to happen. Some healing in our own hearts begins to happen. Well, another important area is in our faith. Come on. Not only do we believe in coming to Christ, but growing in our faith. And for many of you, you've expressed to me just how important that daily relationship quotient with God is. As a church, for those of you with us for the first time, we're going to let you know our hope is to equip you that you would have a vibrant, thriving faith with God. But as a pastor, I've noticed not only the temptation sometimes in my own life, but especially in other people's life. They are okay with God having access to disciple his followers in specific areas. But sometimes when it comes to the area of family, it could be a no-go. God, that's too painful. God, that's too difficult. God, that's a little ugly. I don't want to open that can of worms up to you. I've noticed that sometimes two areas that can trip people up in their discipleship process is family, but also a very familiar one, and that is finances. Many people don't realize that God wants to bless you. God wants to lead you. God wants to guide you. God wants to equip you in the area of your finances. And so we're going to spend a few weeks, 3 weeks precisely, looking at this subject that God actually cares more about your money than you do. Some of you are like, I don't think so. But it's true. God really does. In fact, Jesus spoke more about money in his parables than heaven or hell. Isn't that fascinating? I think he has a clue into why it's so important for us as humans, as especially those that are followers of Christ, to get this area right. Discipleship, think with me, just really quick, think with me what discipleship is. Discipleship is following Jesus. Here's what happened. In a discipleship relationship, it was expected that you are transformed into the likeness of the one you're being discipled. And so I tell people, you've been discipled your whole life. Your parents have helped disciple you. Your crazy Uncle Carl, he helped disciple you, right? Your boss in some ways may have helped disciple you. They've helped shape you. Do things my way. Do things our way. Do things, listen to my advice. If I could tell you how many times this past week I've had to tell our girls, listen to me. Listen to me. Don't do what I do. Do what I say. Listen to me. No. And Jesus, he calls his followers, listen to me. Not only listen, follow my way. So the goal of any subject matter on discipleship is Christ-likeness. It's to be like Jesus. It's to handle things the way Jesus handled them. It's to invite others into the story of God and to lead them to the truths we found. Discipleship transforms us to Christ-likeness. And here's a big one that you may have never thought of. Part of following Jesus, it leads to freedom from idols. Just to think about that. Following Jesus leads us from freedom to idols. One of the most aggravating things about the Holy Spirit, okay, I asked him not to listen for this moment. One of the most aggravating things about the Holy Spirit is he's relentlessly pursuing the idols I have in my heart. Money can be an idol in my heart. Family can be an idol in my heart. Friendships can be an idol in my heart. Sometimes religious activity can be an idol in my heart. And God wants to lead us into Christ-likeness, and here it is, freedom, peace, strength, faith. It's all a beautiful picture of what God does with us. So series overview, really quick. I know I said we're going to spend the next 3 weeks. Well, today we're going to cover the heart. The heart of the matter, the heart, it's a heart issue. You're going to find out today it's not a money issue, it's a heart issue. Not saying you have issues, all right? I'm saying I have issues. I like to preach about them, okay? The heart. Second week is the hand, and the third week is the harvest. We're going to look at some of the different aspects and some of the different passages of Scripture. Scripture, the Bible, actually has a lot to say. There are over 500 verses on the subject of prayer. There are over 500 verses on the subject of faith. There are over 2,000 verses on money and possessions. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that remarkable? Doesn't it just rattle you a little bit? Because again, Jesus wants to free us from our idols. He wants to free us from anything that would take the place of his rule and reign in our lives. It could be so tempting, especially in this subject matter, to just put it off, to just block it out, to be like, 3 weeks, I can endure 3 weeks. Let's get on to the next series. I want to encourage you, if you let it, you will allow God a place in your relationship with him that maybe he's never had before. Some of you sitting here today, you know what it's like to have given God the arena of your finances. You're reaping the harvest that's possible through that. And so you're like, come on, it's about time. I'm excited. Let's get going. Well, I do want to bring attention to a familiar passage for many of you. Depending on if you have really any form of church background, you probably remember a Sunday school lesson on two famous brothers, Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 3, things get hairy really quick. It starts going south pretty quick. God's created everything. It's good. And then how many of you know, as human beings do, we mess some things up. In Genesis 3, it's counted as the fall of humanity. It's the fall of mankind. We gave our hearts over to sin. And in that sin, it began a cycle and a process of us getting restored back to God. Well, Cain and Abel are in the beginning of Genesis chapter 4. And I want to look at five passages of scripture. We're going to talk about them briefly, and then we'll be done. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 2, the second part of that, it says, "Now Abel kept flocks. Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Hey, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it.'" Can I tell you, that's the temptation of idols in our lives. Idols kind of sit there in life, crouching outside our door. They are tempting to bait us into putting them in a place that was only reserved for God. Cain and Abel have an important lesson. Some of you think this is about farming and slaughterhouse. That's not the game, all right? This isn't, well, I told you, honey, we're never going vegan. God loves meat. You can read it, right? That's not as much as what it's about. What we're going to see here is it's a matter of the heart. And it'll be tempting, it'll almost be too tempting to try to get ahead of the message. But here's one of the realities we'll see is that God looked with favor. I think if we were honest with each one of ourselves, in the area especially of following Christ, we long for God's favor to be in every arena of life. Our relationships, our friendships, our dating, our marriages, our parenting, our singleness, our workplace, we long to have God's favor resting in that. And it isn't a matter, here isn't a matter of, oh man, you know, what are you doing with this fruit and veggie stuff? No, bring me the meat, like Arby's. We have the meats. No, that's not the issue at play. The issue at play is a heart that was favorably looked upon with God. And we don't know much about it. There's no backstory. There's no instructional bullet point. Do this, do this, do this, do this. No, we get a story, as most of the Old Testament is, especially Genesis. We get a story, and then we see the process that takes place. But let's just talk about it. What was given? So Cain brought some. Everybody say some. Some. He brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Abel brought fat portions. Just because it's going to be fun, everybody say fat. 1, 2, 3. Fat. Yeah. Some of you are really excited about that. Brought fat portions from some. Here's the key word, of the firstborn of the flock. The firstborn of the flock. What was revealed? The heart of each of them. The heart of each of them. Cain had a perspective of ownership. Ownership. Abel had a heart perspective of stewardship. Of stewardship. Did you just see? Idols aren't interested in us becoming stewards of what God has given us. Do you know? Let's push pause on this, but do you know the relationships in your life are a gift from God? They're not yours to own. They're yours to steward. You know, those of us married with control tendencies, you just got set free with that. Your spouse isn't yours to own and to try to make them like you. That's just not it. No, it's a relationship to steward, to bring God's favor into the marriage, into the home, into the family. And to bring the peace of God, but the favor of God in our lives. Now, Cain approached with what looked fit for him. Cain approached with what felt good, with what was able to be done in his strength. But notice what Abel did. Abel brought from the first fruits. Careful to understand here, especially when we're dealing with the animal kingdom. He didn't know what second-born, third-born, fourth-born, fifth-born would look like. He couldn't count on it. And so what it shows is Abel trusted God. It's a trust issue, not a money issue. It's a trust issue. Cain, heart of ownership. Heart of ownership says, it's mine. I earned it. I'm going to dictate it. I'm going to tell it where to go. Now, Dave Ramsey offers some really good advice. He says, you need to be telling every dollar where it's going. I agree with that. That's important. But one of the things we must recognize is before we get to anything practical, you're not going to find a lot of practical 1, 2, 3, 4, 16-pointers from Jesus. No, Jesus is going to drive to the heart of the matter. Every time. Like I said, the Holy Spirit, especially with me, man, he'll drive to the heart of the matter. What idol do you have? Is it an idol? Has it been settled? Is God's convinced? God's, if the longer you follow him, you're going to realize those areas you thought were so safe and tidy and well protected that he had no access to. Good luck in the future. Good luck, because he's not after it. He's not after it. He's after your heart. He's after our heart. Firstborn portions, they require trust. They revealed a heart of stewardship before God. Abel didn't know what would come next after the firstborn portions. It's the first fruits of what he had, and what did he do? He honored God with it. Here we get God's response in verse 4 and 5. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. And you can go study for yourself. You know, I remember the Sunday school, Cain and Abel. Well, this is fun. But the longer and the farther you get in your growth with God and maturing in some areas, you recognize, whoa, there's quite a sting sometimes to the messages. But can I tell you, what is God wanting to bring us to? When you have ownership, it's your responsibility to provide. When you walk in stewardship, where faith and trust abide, you recognize, as the brother of Jesus, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. So stewardship is about being a vessel of releasing the goodness, releasing the generosity of God. And I'll tell you this, thank you for being stewards of the kingdom of God. Hillside's remarkably generous church. Well, what does that mean? That means hearts in alignment with God. It's a beautiful picture. And what was God's response? It's simple. It just says here, he looked with favor. Doesn't say, well, God loved Abel more. Abel earned it. Abel's striving. God and blah, blah, blah. No. God loves all of us. You can't earn. There were some traditions in centuries past where people thought you could earn God's love. No, that's not even on the table. God loves you where you are with what you bring to the table of life, holy, fully devoted. We get all of God. It's not an earning. It's not a striving thing. It's about recognizing and releasing the favor of God over our lives. And as that intro video, there's a bit of a, not a panic to the video, but seeing that piggy bank, come on, seeing it get red made me a little nervous going down. I mean, it's nothing. All, we all care, right? We all ride the wave sometimes financially. We're just like, oh, we certainly care where it's all going. But ownership is to hold tightly. It's to cling too close. And it's not always about money. A lot of times it's about different arenas of life. Sometimes it's a possession thing. Sometimes it's a relationship thing. I've seen parents release all the control of their kids, not responsibility, but the control aspect of it, release it to the Lord, and within 24 hours, God show up and meet their child. And deliver them, pull them out. Because simply, here's what they did. They recognized, I'm releasing, I'm stewarding. So we have Cain and Abel. Cain's response, come on, don't be Cain, anger and displeasure. Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? Cain was a feeler. Come on, you have a feeler? You have feelers in your life? They just wear it on their face? How you doing today? Because it's obvious. It's like, hey, good morning. Cain, that's how he rolled, right? You've never had any doubt whether Cain was really happy, really excitable, or whether he's downcast. So Cain is downcast. Anger and displeasure. God came to him. Here's what Cain wanted. I want the favor of God the way I want to do it. I want God's blessings on my ways. I want God's favor released in the way I want to do it. Come on, you think of culture. Come on, can we go there just for a minute? Think of culture. People want a blessed marriage. And their dating relationship was crazy. They're not honored. They're pure purity. What is purity? That's so old school, bro. Let's just, get with the times. Well, no. Let's get with God's word. Position ourselves. Let's let that favor invade. Let's let that favor invade. Cain wanted the favor of God according to his ways and, let's be honest, his sacrifice. Cain was sacrificing. You're a winner, Cain. You're a winner. You get the best prize for sacrifice. No, God looked favorably with Abel, and he wanted to position Cain for the blessing from heaven. Two perspectives, as I've alluded to earlier, two perspectives we see of the owner heart, the steward heart. The owner says, it's mine. I earned it. That's human nature. Can I be honest? That's human nature. Come on, all of us men, you're going to be able to relate with what I'm about to share. As you're driving and pull over and go into a drive-thru and you're ordering your food, you look at your wife, you say, do you want anything? No, I'll just eat some of yours. And you look again and you say, no, listen, I've got mine. You want some fries? No, I'll just eat some of yours. And man, your adrenaline begins to start rushing. You feel, so what do? You order two combos just in case. You got backup. Say, no problem sharing, no problem. I didn't understand it. Nobody warned me. I wish there was a manual. Somebody could have warned me. And we'd go, Kelly's a big seafood fanatic. So she'll love seafood. I don't eat seafood. So only one of us always had to share every meal out. This guy. I owned. It's this statement. It's mine. And here's what's funny. That's a little fun. But so often we can do that in our walk with God. Yes, obviously, of course, in the issue of finance, but it's not just an issue of finance. We can do that over a job. What if God's looking to promote you? What if God's looking to reposition you in your life, but you're like, no, this is mine. I'm settled. I'm comfortable. Boom, boom, boom. This is it. A steward recognizes, man, I am just a vessel. I'm going to steward with wisdom. I'm going to steward with honor. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite, I'm going to let God have his way in and through me to the relationships around. That's why Jesus so often, you remember he would come to Matthew. I wish there was more of the conversation. Two words, follow me. Follow me. Matthew's like, I'm making a whole lot of money, ripping a whole lot of people off. Got a whole lot of, Jesus just like, follow me. Judas, we're all second guessing Judas, you know. Jesus, follow me. You know, that's what God does with each of us. And he's wanting to position our hearts to be stewards, not owners. In case you haven't realized, your time on earth is temporary. It's rented space to begin with. We can store up treasures on this earth, or you can store up treasures in eternity. A healthy heart is what God's after. A healthy heart. If we think about our physical hearts receive blood and they give blood. Blockages stop the flow of the heart. Now, some of you know this far better than I do and could go into all sorts of details of the heart. I just Googled and looked at an image and said to myself, I'm not a doctor, but I'm going to keep it simple. Intake and outtake, but blockages do occur. And blockages for our spiritual walk, they're a temptation of the enemy. And here's the temptation. Let's get a good old-fashioned idol in their life. Let's reconstruct idols. Let's get them to trust this. Let's get them to trust that. Let's get them to look to this. Let's get them to look to that. And God's saying, no, 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 no. Tear the idols down. I will provide. I will meet. Possible blockages, fear. Come on. You ever met somebody who's fearful over finances? No, not here. I just mean in life. Fear. We live in one of the most anxious cultures. Fear over finances. Greed. None of us are greedy. We know greedy people. Envy, covetousness, King James Version. Isn't that just like the enemy sometimes? Use social media. You use a friendship, use a relationship that was a blessing, but all of a sudden became a curse because you got to see what they drive. You didn't know you needed it or wanted it until you saw it, and it looked good. We can get a little envy, get a little covetousness. Covetousness, we want what isn't ours. And in America, we want it right now. It's that ownership. The fear of missing out can also drive us to make decisions financially. God's always calling us back. Jesus, we'll end with a few of his passages and then we'll close. Matthew chapter 6, tremendous, tremendous passage. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. One of the most aggravating statements that I've ever heard, I plan to share with you right now. You're welcome. Because come on, I'm just going to be honest. If it hurt me, I'm going to make sure it hurts you. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally joking. But it was Charles Stanley's son, Andy Stanley. He preached the series, I remember. And the statement just kind of rattled my cage a little bit. And so I thought I'd have some fun with it. And here it is. Your heart has a paper trail. Your heart has a paper trail. We're used to our checkbooks and our bank account, online banking. Come on, you can see the paper trail. You can go balancing the checkbook, balancing the budget. We can see where it all went. But can I tell you the spiritual aspect of it? Cain and Abel, let me say this, Cain and Abel, their hearts had a paper trail. Or in their case, an agriculture trail. Their hearts were on display. And can I tell you, in our area of life, in our arena of life, for many of us, we need to take stock. We need to just invite God. God, am I in this area? Have I been off limits with you? Have I been off limits with you? Do I have a stewarding heart or do I have an owning heart? If there's an area, God, I need to repent of, I'm going to repent and get on board with how you want me to function. Because God has your best interests in mind. Cain could never invite the blessing of God doing things his way. He was instructed and led to do them God's way. And we are absorbed in a culture that tells you you're the smartest person in the room. Whatever you feel, go ahead and do it. And God says, there's a chance, Paul, you're not the smartest person in the room. And I want you to yield your life to my word. I want you to give that away. I want you to do this. I want you to honor me in this way. And God can do a lot when our hearts are in a place of stewardship. You remember Jesus and his disciples in the temple. And Jesus brought to mind the heart issue. Here were all of the wealthy coming in and giving, blessing. I guarantee you their increments were far superior than maybe what we could think or imagine. But then here came a widow. and put 2 pence in. And Jesus said that was all that she had. What's Jesus getting at? The increments, the dollar amounts, or the heart position? He's getting at the heart position. Jesus was comfortable. He had some of the wealthiest aristocracy in the day as his disciples and followers. He didn't have much. He didn't have, let's go wealthy, let's go. No, he just saw people. And he knew how subtle and deceptive the heart of the enemy can be over our souls. And he came in and he spoke words of truth, spoke words of life. And here's what he did. He invited them to live in freedom, to see their lives not as unto themselves, but as unto the Lord. We'll end with this verse and we'll pray. Matthew 6:33. Jesus has just gotten done describing something that is so alien to our culture. 3 words that we're like, yeah, okay, Jesus, good luck with that, buddy. 3 words, do not worry. And there's no footnote unless dot, dot, dot. No, Jesus said, do not worry. And he said, it's not about the food. It's not about the clothes. He's encouraging it. This time his audience was just the Jewish people in this particular conversation. And he said, because the pagans, the people who have no idea who Yahweh is, the people who have no idea how generous, how overabundant Yahweh, the one who owns 1,000 cattle on the hill, the one who provided man, and they don't have a clue. And they're chasing after dress. They're chasing after drink. They're chasing after treasures on earth. But he said, you know who Yahweh is. You get to be invited into this phrase, do not worry. How do we do that? How do we, there, you can almost see, how? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's a subtle pivot. I've noticed it in my own life. It's a subtle pivot, but it can be so dangerous. I have to repent. Sometimes I just find myself, I'll get on my knees crying before the Lord. Not all the time. Not that emotional, everybody. But sometimes I get on my knees crying before, Lord, forgive me because I've gotten caught up in seeking all the rest and forgot about your kingdom first, your heart first. It's subtle, and we can move in that direction. This series, I believe, will help us all in the area of money especially move in that direction. If we allow, come on, if we allow God the space to do what only he can do. So we honor him in the area of finances. We receive his blessing in the area of our finances. Jesus wasn't talking to money. He was always only talking to the heart. And we're going to close. I'm going to say a prayer for us. I want to just shift gears a little bit in this idea. Message over. Let me ask you, though. I don't need you to answer me. I need you to answer God. Who's on the throne of your heart? Are you the wisest woman or man in every situation, in every room? Are you doing things in your strength, in your abilities? Let me take it just a little bit further. Thanks for enduring. Let me take it just a little bit. Are you your own savior? Are you making life happen in your own strength? Or have you recognized the invitation of Jesus as he said, come and follow me? He would come to us and he'd say, come follow me, all you who are weary and brokenhearted, let me give you rest. Come to me, all you who are greedy, anxious, jealous, exhausted, And let me free you and give you a treasure that's not of this earth. Relationship with your Heavenly Father. Jesus came that you and I might have the abundant life. It's not a money or possessions thing. It's an eternity relationship. God here and now with us, no matter what we're facing. It'd be appropriate to end this time giving you an opportunity. If you've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, you can do that right now. Will you say this with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I need you. I need your mercy, God. I recognize that you are God and I am not. I recognize that you are the Savior of the world and I am not. I recognize you have my best interests in mind. And oftentimes, God, I don't. I repent of my sin. I ask that you would forgive me. I welcome you now as my Lord and as my Savior. I trust you wholeheartedly with my past, with my present, and with my future. No area of life is off limits, God. You may have it all. Fill me with your Spirit. Let your grace and mercy and goodness follow me all my days. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate God one more time?